Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Got a great show for you today, as the New York Giants have officially introduced their new general manager. And guess what? We're running it back. He loves Daniel Jones. He loves Saquon Barkley. He does not like Deshaun Watson. Good afternoon, Evan. How are you today,
Kid? Excellent. How are you feeling?
I've been better. I'm going to do the majority of today's show standing up. Nobody wants to hear me whine and complain about it, but that's just the way it is. I've got the back brace on. I threw my back out this morning. I went to the greatest chiropractor in the world, my main man, Dr. Drew, and I'm upright. So I'm in excruciating pain. So for the next 4.5 hours, that'll present itself. That'll present
at
itself.
At 11 a.m., Craig Carton was listed on the injury report as doubtful. But yeah. I never doubted him for a second. His Willis Reed moment. I'm going to get
Reed.
Into work.
I play. Right. I'm playing. Willis Reed didn't play. Yeah, I'm playing.
You're going to play? And yeah. I'll be Walt Clyde Frazier carrying your ass.
So if you're a diehard Giant fan, you heard the general manager, either the press conference or on with the guys, Tiki and Tierney did a good job with him. A couple things. One, yes, I agree. He comes across like a very likable, decent guy. There was nothing douchey about him. There's nothing arrogant about him. So he is a likable guy. Means absolutely nothing as far as will he be a good general manager, right? Here's the thing, a couple things that I take out of it that, again, I'm not a diehard Giant fan. If you're a Giant fan, I think you have to maybe not be skeptical about Evan, but you have to be concerned about. Number one, Daniel Jones is their quarterback. That was made abundantly clear, not just by Joe Shane, but by John Mara today, who said, and I'm paraphrasing here, we've done enough to screw that kid up already.
Yeah.
Like, what?
No, he's right. He's not wrong about that.
Okay.
Bad coaching, bad roster. Yeah, that's
fair. Right, so he's coming back. They love Saquon Barkley, and it's the same thing I heard Dave Gettleman say how many years ago?
That would be 4 years ago now.
We're going to fix the offensive line.
Right.
A better offensive line makes Saquon Barkley better, makes our quarterback better. Great. How are we doing that?
Well,
what's the plan?
The biggest thing to me was, unless he's lying to us, which he could be, a GM has a right to lie. They have a right to BS us for reasons of value and whatnot. He's bringing Daniel Jones back, and his words, not mine, we're going to build an offense around Daniel Jones.
Okay, great.
That's a headline right there if you're a Giant fan. And I know there are some Giant fans who say, yeah, you should, because you have done everything to screw him up over the last few years. A bad offensive line, receivers who are always hurt, horrible coaching, terrible coordinators, a lot of coaches. I get all that. I'm of the belief that I can't trust Daniel Jones to stay healthy.
Well, not just that, Evan. Daniel Jones is in an interesting position contract-wise.
Right.
He has this year at about $8 million, and then, of course, the team option for the fifth year of the contract for an ungodly amount of money for a guy that may not be a franchise quarterback. So if we're building the entire thing now around the talents of Daniel Jones, which on the surface I'm not saying is not the right thing to do, he's still in a one-year tryout period.
Yes, yeah, because, first of all, no one asked him, to my knowledge, and I listened to the press conference, I listened to the interview here on the station, no one asked point blank, hey, are you picking up his fifth-year option? We all assume that they won't, for reasons that you said. It's an ungodly amount of money.
It's too much money.
It doesn't make any sense, but you're right. It's a trial year. Right. That's what this is.
So you can't make long-term franchise decisions when your quarterback, who in theory you're building around, is going to have a one-year tryout.
Right.
Because that's what this year is going to be.
Right, and if you don't fix the offensive line in 1 year, if you don't improve the roster in 1 year, if you don't get the right offensive coordinator and system in 1 year, then all the screwing up of Daniel Jones may not matter because you didn't unscrewify it in 1 year.
Yeah. The other thing that, and maybe this is just my thing because I feel like in some weird way I'm attached to this guy's name, at least in New York, and that, of course, is Deshaun Watson. John Maurer spoke, I guess, after the initial introduction to a group of reporters, and Joe Shane doubled down on it. They are not going after Deshaun Watson.
Right.
They have no interest in Deshaun Watson, as they said, for a lot of reasons. One, current salary cap situation, and two, the allegations against him. I respect that. If, as an organization, you don't want that quote-unquote type of guy here, and that's just the way it's going to be moving forward, I guess that's okay. But what's not okay about it is if the new general manager comes in and he thinks Deshaun Watson is the bleep, right? He's the guy. And overnight, he makes you a really good football team, or at least a much better football team because of his obvious talent. I found it interesting that they're not even willing to consider
But neither did Joe Shane, because he was asked the same question and said no.
Yeah, but
for cap reasons,
that
we're not going to. Well, but wait a second.
Like, how could you not even consider it?
But Craig, Deshaun Watson's not the only quarterback available this offseason, potentially.
That's true.
So you could also ask Joe Shane and John Mara, hey, if Russell Wilson's available, you're going to go after him. Because you can't hide behind, well, the allegations. There are no allegations with Russell Wilson.
Right.
He's a really good quarterback. Now, they could have given a similar answer of no, cap space, draft picks, we can't do it. But I would have asked him, hey, what about Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
What about Aaron Rodgers? What about drafting a quarterback? Because I don't love the idea personally. And I know there are going to be some Giant fans who disagree, want to give Daniel another year. I don't love the idea of building an offense around Daniel Jones. I don't.
I don't think Giant fans do either.
I don't love an idea of saying, yeah, you know why Daniel never lived up to the potential over the last few years? It's everyone else's fault. And while there is some validity to that, the quarterback position is the most important position in football. It's the biggest decision a new general manager is going to have to make. The legacy of a general manager in many ways is determined by the quarterback they pick.
Yeah.
Ask Joe Douglas. He is linked to Zach Wilson. So right now, if you are the new general manager, Joe Shane, is that really what you want to do? Do you really want to go into a season with a guy who's coming off a major neck injury? We don't even know his status going into next year.
Nor did anybody ask.
No. Well, there's a lot of things that weren't asked. I got to be honest with
you. You don't ask what the current health status is of Daniel Jones. Nobody asks if you're going to bring in a legitimate veteran quarterback.
That's another thing.
Nobody asks, are you going to at least have somebody come in that will push him to be the starting quarterback like a veteran might?
Well, you know,
like, none of that stuff was asked today.
And by the way,
maybe that's why they didn't put him on with us. I don't know.
You said something earlier, and it's so true. We are all past reacting to a press conference in terms of appearance or pumping you up.
Because you've been burned a couple
times. We've been burned a few times. Yeah. So here's what I'm reacting to. Here's what I think Giant fans should react to. The meat and potatoes of, okay, you're the GM, to quote Clint Capella, what you gonna do about it?
Well, I think he was very clear that this is a GM that does not believe in, you know, just flashing a lot of cash. He's a draft first guy.
He's right about it. I totally agree with him.
He's a build through the draft, supplement through free agency.
I am totally with him on that. I saw him say that this morning, even before his press conference, and he's right about that. And I also like the idea that while analytics are a big part of this team, he doesn't want to call it analytics because it's a dirty word, so he changed it to data innovation. I like that.
Okay.
Data innovation. Hey, what did data innovation say on that fourth down call?
There's
going to
be about half a dozen young pimple-faced kids in their young 20s who just graduated from DeVry who are now going to be part of the New York Giants front office. And by the way, that might be a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad thing.
So I don't – listen, there's nothing to dislike about Joe Shane at all. I want to be clear about that. He's got a lot of work ahead of him. He knows that.
Quick question for you. Because you watched it, I watched it, we all watched it, we heard it. I did take out of it how important, when asked about the coaching staff, he put a real emphasis on working together, being on the same page, collaborative. That does lead me back the fact that he is probably going to bring in one of his Buffalo guys.
I told you that the other day. Brian Daboll's the new head coach of the New York Giants.
You're ruling out Leslie Frazier?
Leslie Frazier, and this is not fair. Leslie Frazier cannot get this job because of how the Chiefs-Bills game ended. Giant fans would have a fit if Leslie Frazier's the guy. Plus, a lot of fans would also view that as a retread who didn't win the first time.
Well, around. I think there's two reasons why Leslie Frazier wouldn't go over with fans. Not that it's fair or not. Even though the Buffalo Bills defense was really good this year, when Giant fans and football fans think about the Buffalo Bills, they think of Josh Allen. And they associate his turnaround from raw rookie to MVP caliber player. You look at Brian Daboll and say, hey, maybe he played a big hand in that.
Yeah.
I think when you look at Leslie Frazier, and it's not fair, I don't think you view the defense and say that's a Leslie Frazier creation.
It's the same thing both ways. People are going to overvalue maybe Brian Daboll because of what the Bills did in that Chiefs game, and they're going to undervalue Leslie Frazier.
I agree.
So there's two sides of that coin.
I do think that at least based on his answers, not that he's being 100% truthful in everything that he says. I know you can't be because things still have to happen. I do walk away from this really convinced Brian Daboll is going to be the next head coach.
Yeah, so overall, it's a positive day for sure. You got to meet your new general manager. If you're a diehard Giant fan, bring it. Love to hear from you. I hate to say this because I get no joy out of saying it, but for those of you who felt over the course of the last couple of years that the Maras have become something closer to the Wilpons than, I don't know, let's say the Steinbrenners, for lack of any other better comparison, there was still a hint of that at today's press conference. John Mara said something today. Now, I'm not sure if he said it during the actual his first comments or he told the reporters that, you know, afterwards, Evan.
Mm-hmm.
But John Mara said something today that if it was a Jeff or Fred Wilpon production, they would be buried for it for months. Okay? I'm going to tell you what it is after the break. Because it's a little nothing is what it is. But I got to be fair.
You're a bad
honest.
Guy. I'll tell you why you're a bad guy.
No, I got to be fair.
On
I got to be honest.
On a day where the Giant fans want to have hope, and we can debate the quarterback stuff, the roster stuff. On a day where Giant fans want to have hope, you brought up the W word.
I did.
How dare you?
Well, you don't even know what it is, though. Wait till I tell you what it is. When I tell you what it is, and I want to be clear, it means absolutely nothing. It is nothing more than a cheap shot that I'm taking at the Mariners.
So you're admitting that it's a cheap shot?
It is an uncalled for cheap shot. I want to be clear. I mean nothing by it. No harm intended, but I'm not doing my job if I don't at least make you aware of it. So I'm not being a Giant hater. I'm not putting the Mariners down. I'm not saying they're the Wilpons. I just have to tell you the story, though, and then you can do it the way you want. But don't yell at me. Don't attack me. don't tell me I'm just your Jet fan who hates the Mariners and the Giants. I'm merely going to give you information. You can decide what to do with the information.
What Craig is trying to tell you is we report, you decide.
I don't know. Was that Fox?
I think that was Fox.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're doing. Right. Yeah. Again, so we'll take a very quick break, and then we'll tell you the story, and then we'll take all your calls. Is that a fair way to do this? The New York Giants have a new general manager. Brian Daboll's going to be their head coach. They'll probably announce it on Saturday and introduce him on Monday. And away we go in the offseason. Great.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
I'm in excruciating pain and doing the show standing up today. But that's called a commitment to your job and to the people that you work with. So I've never done an entire show standing up that I know of. But I'm looking forward to knocking out all 4.5 hours.
Be honest.
There's a video of me standing up. You get my nipples down. That is a good look on SNL.
Be honest. The reason you came in is Craig thought to himself, if I don't come in, Evan's going to do 2 hours on the Nets, isn't he? And he said, I'm just going to can't find a way to get in there.
My nightmare, my fear, when I was writhing in pain on the floor today,
was what?
Was that you going to open with it.
I would have done it just to spite you.
I did have one moment of total vanity earlier this morning. So I go, when I'm not chopping wood, I go to take my morning shower, take my clothes off, obviously, start the water, it's running. I have a basic no-frills stall shower.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little step. You have to just, like, step over it to get into it, right? I couldn't get in.
Boy.
So now I'm up there, and I'm naked. And when you're not feeling like you're hurt, little Elvis likes to hide. So it's not a good look for me in any possible manner. I can barely move. I'm naked. And I can't bend over to put clothes on.
Mm.
So I can't, you know, yell, hey, come help, because you're naked.
Right.
Right? So I happen to have in my closet the New York Mets cane you got me.
Nice.
And it's just sitting there. So I use the curved end of the cane. You know, I got like my foot into the hole on the underwear. I used your cane to then pull the underwear up.
That's amazing.
Took me a half hour to put underwear
on. I'm glad that cane was helpful. That cane started as a possession of Joe when he had hip surgery. He gave it to me when I had back issues. Now I gave it to you when you had back issues. But the thing I don't understand about you is...
is how I hurt my back without chopping wood?
It's not even that.
Good question.
We have the technology for you to do the show from home.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just do that?
Because I don't do that.
What do you mean you don't do that?
I don't do that.
You're going through major back issues. I would understand if you did that.
Yeah, no. Nah,
like, Sal Licata does a show at home just because it's Friday.
He shouldn't be allowed to.
But you have a reason to.
Yeah, no. You get up, you go to work. Right. Show's never as good, never sounds right. If you're home, you're home. You don't work from home.
Unless it's Saturday, I completely agree with you. On Saturdays, it's a different story.
Because that's like a bonus show.
I advise you work at home.
So anyway, Joe Shane was introduced today to our New York Giant fans. It was an interesting press conference from the standpoint that he didn't say anything until the questions were asked. Like, there was no, hey, let me lay out my kind of my grand plan or how I like to do things and who I kind of pattern myself after and my beliefs for this, that, and the other thing. We did learn, you know, later on after the questions were asked, that he's a draft-first guy, supplement with free agents. He's not a guy looking to go out there and spend $100 million just because he can, which he can't right now. But what was interesting are the people he thanked. It was almost like a retirement speech when you're a public service worker after 50 years and they give you the lousy watch. And you're like, oh, let me start thanking everyone that made this 50 years possible. And what I found most interesting, among all the people he thanked, and there were some interesting names in there, guys like Bill Parcells, to name a number of other coaches.
Who he mentioned he spoke to on the phone the other day, which was interesting to
hear. He said Bill said it's the greatest job in the world to have, and he has Bill has provided him counsel, I guess, over the years, a couple times a year. So he thanked a bunch of NFL guys and college guys and his former coach and this guy and the Pegulas, the owners of the Bills. And then there was one group of people he thanked, which fascinated me. He thanked his in-laws.
Smart man.
He said, I want to thank my in-laws because this job requires a lot of late nights, a lot of travel. I have children. Now he has two kids who are in their teens and a three-year-old. You know, make anybody story wrong with that.
Well, what does that mean?
I'm a sec. Whatever you want to do.
Stop.
No. So, and he goes, and I want to just thank my in-laws for always being there when we needed them.
He's right. If I ever got something big and needed to do some kind of thank you announcement, I would absolutely include my in-laws.
You have no choice.
For that exact reason.
Yeah, your father-in-law cooks for you.
I get home
and raises
late
your kids.
At night. Not raises. I raise our kids.
Sorry.
Stop with that.
Seems like it.
I get home late at night. And there's always a meal waiting for me.
Yes.
I want to thank my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. Like this morning,
so let me ask
this. I was about to change Spence's diaper, and my mother-in-law says, Evan, I got it.
Well, you
and
also...
I said, you got it.
You also went... I'm just going to change his diaper now. I don't want to wake anybody up.
How did you know I did that?
Oh, Evan, I'll change it for... Okay, good.
You
good.
Got it. Need any help? You want me to bring you over a
question.
New diaper?
When we get nominated for a Marconi Award,
right,
and we win the Marconi Award, all right, and we go to the dinner, the lunch, whatever it is, and we go up there to say a few words.
Yes.
The in-laws are on your list.
Yeah. I would thank my mom, my dad, my wife, my sons, my dog, and my in-laws. Because they show me great love, and they make me realize, don't take it too seriously, Dad. Yeah, you're devastated about that loss, but just remember, look at my smile. That'll make you feel better. Why wouldn't I thank my son?
Let me ask you this.
What's wrong with you?
Do you thank Chernoff or Eskin?
Chernoff, probably for
so
now.
So you would leave Spike out of the
thank
you?
No, I wouldn't leave Spike.
I'm going to let him know.
If we got the Marconi today, I'd probably forget about him. I think
if we got the Marconi this year,
I think I would forget.
Spike Eskin, No thanks.
I'd go Chernoff. I'd go the architect. I'd probably forget. I think within the next, like, year, he'd enter the convo.
So you would thank your father-in-law for cooking for you and helping with the kids and all that.
Yes.
You wouldn't thank your boss.
Not yet.
All right.
He hasn't been here long enough.
Well, Spike's got a lot, you know, he's got a lot of work to do.
I like, well, wouldn't you agree? Like, if you want a Marconi right now, Spike, who I like, you like, he's been here for 6 months. You're not thanking him yet.
Yeah. I wouldn't thank Chernoff either.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Real quick, before we take your calls, I teased it going into the break, so I just want to follow through on that. David Ortiz is in the Hall of Fame, blah, 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 blah. We're not having that conversation. We're not debating the merits of his career versus everyone else's career. I just have a question for you, Evan.
Yes.
Because you and I are fundamentally opposed in this one particular area. Where I acknowledge I don't care, and you acknowledge that you care very much.
I do.
About who gets in, who doesn't get in, the whole process the Hall of Fame. And listen, a lot of people feel the same way you do, and there's some people who feel the way I do. My question for you, and you can only speak for yourself, but I'm assuming this will be the same for many people who feel the way you do. You know in your heart of hearts, we're going to use Bonds for this example, that Barry Bonds is maybe the greatest player you've ever seen play. I think you said that yesterday.
Yes,
that
he's the greatest baseball player I've ever seen. Yeah.
So you know that. Mm-hmm. His career speaks for itself. Why does it bother you, like on a personal level, that he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame?
There's two reasons. And one of which I think you'll really understand. The other one you'll roll your eyes at. So I'll give you the roll your eyes
out. Yeah, do that one first.
All right. I'm a diehard baseball fan. I have great respect for the Hall of Fame. I go there every 2-3 years. And I just believe he is a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Simple as that. And there are guys in the Hall of Fame that I believe are not Hall of Famers. So it's just as simple, I know he is, I think he is, he should be honored the way that most of us, and I think it's most of us, believe he should be honored. Now, I'd write on the plaque, by the way, I've always said this, put these guys in, and then on the plaque, write, there are questions about his steroid use, blah, 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 blah. So I'm all game for that. So it's just a very, I'm a diehard baseball fan. It's my favorite sport. I love the museum. I go there every few years. It's on my avatar now where I'm covering up Robin Roberts' name, first name. So it says Evan Roberts. I love it, and I know it's right. But the reason why a lot of other people get annoyed, and it's the same reason why you get annoyed at something as stupid as the sexual orientation of an M&M. You don't really care about the M&M. You care about hypocrisy. You care about things that you know are just stupid or wrong. There's a lot of people out there right now that at the end of the day don't feel about baseball the way I do. They don't go to the museum as much as I do. But you know what they hate just like you hate? They hate hypocrisy. And so when they see David Ortiz get into the Hall of Fame, when he failed a drug test, even though there were questions about that drug test, and they see Barry Bonds kept out, and they see guys like Albert Bell kept out because writers didn't like them, and they see Curt Schilling kept out because he's a bad guy on Twitter, that pisses people off because it's hypocrisy. It's hypocritical. And so it's the same reason why you will get annoyed about a story that at the end of the day you don't really care about.
Right.
But you get annoyed based on, oh my God, look how woke this is or whatever.
Yeah.
It's the same reason.
I buy that. I buy it.
I knew you'd buy that.
No, I do. I buy it completely.
Thank you.
It's why most people, whether you like this guy getting in or that guy getting in, the one thing that seems to be universal amongst the fans is a tremendous dislike for the writers that vote.
Okay.
Right? It seems that way. Craig, like the writer's defense is going to be, well, hey, more than 60% of us did vote for Barry Bonds to get in. So the majority of us agree with the public.
Okay.
But I think the public now, over the last 5, 10 years, whatever it is, has universally grown to dislike the writers that vote.
You're 100% right, but guess what? I don't know how many people have brought this up, but it's very important to bring up because we're going to get an answer to that question. There's a committee called the Today's Game Era Committee. It's a 16-member body comprised of Hall of Fame baseball players, baseball executives, and a couple of veteran media writers. And every 5 years, they meet twice, and they vote on the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
They're going to meet in December of this year. There's a really good chance Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are going to be on that ballot.
Now, how do you get on that ballot? Is anyone that's retired automatically on the ballot after 5 years?
You will have to have contributed to the game of baseball between 1988 and 2016.
Okay, sorry, that's so right.
You need to have been off the ballot. So Bonds and Clemens qualify.
So you have to be off the actual ballot, so those guys
through
are
the
now
10
off,
years, not through less than 5%.
Eligible. Got it, go.
So, for example, a few years ago, Albert Bell was on that ballot. Harold Baines was on that ballot.
I got you.
The people voting are Hall of Famers. Rod Carew's going to vote. Ozzie Smith is going to vote. Sandy Alderson is going to vote. So for everyone, myself included, who are pissed off at the writers and say, it's the writers, they're old, they're white, they don't understand. Okay, I kind of agree with you to a certain extent. Well, it's game on. Because when 16 legends vote, and you need 12 of 16, same 75%, okay. Right. And we're no longer blaming the boogeyman, we're no longer blaming Ken Davidoff, nothing personal, I think he voted for Bonds,
okay.
Just thought of him.
Yeah.
What are we going to say if they don't get in?
Okay.
Well, are we going to say if Ozzie Smith says no?
Yeah.
What are we going to say if Rod Carew says no? What are we going to say when a veteran manager or a general manager like Walt Jocketty says no? I mean, I think this is fascinating. I think this is so much more interesting than the writer's stuff.
And those guys vote every year as well, or every couple of years?
There are different committees. The committee we're talking...
Just use that one.
Yeah, the one we care about?
Yeah.
Like, no offense to Gil Hodges, that's how Gil got in.
Right.
On, I think it was the Golden Era Committee.
Okay.
We're talking about the Today's Game Era Committee. They're going to meet in December.
But do they meet every year?
No, they meet twice every 5 years.
Oh, okay. So it's not an every year thing.
It's not an every year thing.
So they meet essentially every year and a half or so.
This December, they're going to meet. It's coming up. I mean, 11 months from now.
Pardon me.
They're going to meet in December. What's going to happen?
Interesting.
No, dude, I have no idea. But
yeah.
It's very, and I won't do this anymore.
I think Bonds will get in.
Well,
Clemens will get in.
What if he doesn't? We all have spent so much time ripping the boogeyman, the
writers. I'm sorry.
What if
it's not them? Is that a one shot deal? You don't get in, you don't, that's it?
No, that's not, I think.
So you're eligible whenever they meet.
Yeah, I think you can be on the ballot numerous times.
Got it.
But look who's voting
that
now.
That would be interesting.
So look who's voting
now. I'm actually more interested in that than I am what happened yesterday.
100%. Because you know what?
Because those are the peers.
The debate from yesterday is old. We all kill the boogeyman. We all hate the writers. They're all old and stupid. They don't cover baseball anymore. I'm over it.
Well, that is a good one. There are guys that vote who don't cover baseball.
I get it. And I you know what? I agree with people's take on it, but I'm over it now. Now let's see what Ozzie Smith has to say.
Right.
What are we going to say if Ozzie Smith says no?
Is that vote made public?
That's a great question. So what we get is the final vote.
They obviously
I don't think we know.
But...
Yeah, and we know how many votes they get. So, for example, Don Mattingly was on one of the ballots a few years ago, and I know there's a lot of passionate Yankee fans in this town who to this day believe Don Mattingly is a Hall of Famer. I respect that.
Sure.
Don has a new way to get in. He didn't get in, and he wasn't close.
Got it.
So, and by the way, you know who else is going to be on that ballot that's going to interest more New Yorkers than Barry Bonds? George M. Steinbrenner. He was on the last modern-day ballot, did not get in, did not get the 12 votes needed to get in. Harold Baines got in, and you know there were accusations. Oh, it's because Tony La Russa's his buddy. So, no matter who votes, we get pissed off at the voters and claim there's some kind of hypocrisy.
Has anyone ever gotten in through that Today's Game Committee unanimous?
I'd have to go back and look. I know that's how Harold Baines got in recently. I don't know if it was unanimous. But again, it's only 16 people. So unlike this ballot that we talked about yesterday where there's hundreds and hundreds of writers, it's 16 voters. Now, what I'm trying to figure out...
Do the voters change every 2 years?
I was just about to say, I'm trying to figure out if it's the same 16 guys each time.
Got it.
I know who the 16 guys were last time. I mentioned a few of them already. Sandy Alderson, Walt Jocketty, Rod Carew, Ozzie Smith, George Brett, I think, was up there.
Okay.
So a really eclectic mix of, hey, all-time greats.
Executives, players,
and three writers, I think.
Got it. Like a Bill Madden might be on that, no?
Yeah, I mean,
I know he votes for the regular one, but... All right, so that'd be interesting.
I think that's fascinating because we're all mad at the writers, but what happens if they don't get in now without the writers?
Then you'll be less mad at the writers, I guess. You know, if the peers speak and say no, that carries a lot more weight than some jerk-off who's sitting in his basement on an old typewriter saying, I'm not putting you in because I don't like you.
Yeah.
Or I'm making a judgment on what I think was wrong for the game. Or whatever the case
But Craig, I've heard a lot of people say, and I understand the suggestion, players should be able to vote. All right, let the players vote. Do we honestly think that all players are going to vote for these guys?
No.
There's going to be players who say, F them. I didn't like Bonds. He was a jerk.
Well, especially a guy that played clean.
Yeah, a guy who
played
clean.
Like, if you're a guy that played clean and your numbers are not, let's even say borderline Hall of Fame, but you know you're not going to get in, you might be pissed that you played against guys that you know were cheating, whose numbers are better than you. You're not going to vote for those guys.
No doubt. And you also may just be pissed because you didn't like the guy. You know, writers are humans, too. So as much as we hate that they vote based on who they liked, oh, you don't think players would do that? You don't think broadcasters would do that?
I think it's human nature.
You don't think Craig Carton would do that?
Well, I would never do that.
No, never.
No. I would take my voting responsibilities seriously, and I would vote based on facts, not emotion.
Okay.
But I'm special in that regard.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You wronged me once, you'll never get in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
I would be the first guy to do that, too.
Of course you would.
I would call you up and say, ah, guess who's in charge now? Yeah.
Exactly.
I remember what you wrote about me 19 years ago. You're never getting in.
That's why, as much as we hate the writers for holding vendettas, you don't think players hold vendettas, too?
Of course. They should. Colby's in Brooklyn on the Fan. Colby, what's good, Cookie?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
So,
Craig, real quick, I owe you an apology from 13 years ago.
Okay.
It was the one and only time I called into the morning show. I was at Syracuse at the time, and it was about 3 days before I graduated, and I thought I had a really cogent point to make at 9 in the morning, and I fell flat on my face. So,
Listen, I remember that call, and I do accept your apology.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Really quick, I totally agree on the biggest issue is the hypocrisy of the process, not so much the outrage as to whether or not we know these guys were good enough. Evan, you'll know this. If you go to the Hall of Fame, those guys are already in it.
In the museum portion. In the museum portion. Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So here's my question. I mean, the museum, and if I'm way off on this, correct me, don't they set the policy as to the writers who get to vote for who gets the plaques? And if so, I would imagine there's enough people in the museum that say, hey, these guys are already in. Like, can't we just fundamentally change the policy so that we get these guys into the final
You know what's funny? And this has, I mean, it's been talked about a little bit. I know we haven't brought it up, but the Baseball Hall of Fame changed a policy a few years ago that really did in Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. And this was not the writers. This was, I think, the Hall of Fame. They went from 15 years on the ballot to 10. And the reason that's a big deal is Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens very slowly were trending up. And there's reason to believe that by the time we got to year 12, 13, 14, 15, they may have gotten in. Because some of the older, more bitter writers were dropping off. And they were being replaced by younger, I hate to use, I don't want to use the word progressive because that's not the right word.
Younger, less bitter.
Less bitter. Younger, less bitter writers. That's why I think we've seen an uptick. So if they were on the ballot for a few more years, I think they may have gotten in. And that was a Hall of Fame decision.
Now, they did not get more votes this time than last time. And Schilling dropped off the map this time compared to last time.
So the Schilling thing is a little weird. Couple of things. I'm bothered by that because, to me, whatever Curt Schilling says about politics or the world, as vile as you may think it is or I may think it is, it's irrelevant. I did hear a few writers say Curt Schilling asked to be off the ballot.
He did.
So I'm honoring his wishes by not voting for him.
All right, that's a bit of a cop-out, but yes, he did say, you know, because he's one of those guys that he's like he's fed up with it, and he wants to be in control. So rather than deal with the what's the word? What's the word I'm looking for? I'm going to say that, rather than deal with the ignominy of not getting in before on your last year on a ballot, you say, I don't want to get in.
Right.
That way you're like, oh, the only reason I didn't get in is because I told him not to vote for me. I have no interest in your Hall of Fame.
There's one thing you said, though, that was right, but it's not right anymore. Anonymity.
No. The ignominy.
Indignity of not getting in.
Yeah. Woo!
The other thing that happened is you said something and you were right. Barry Bonds was hated. Now why do we love him? I give you an answer that you'll buy. I'll never forget being in Philadelphia when Bonds was there and people threw syringes on the field.
Yep.
They treated him like the biggest heel going. The reason he turned face, why he's a good guy now, is because we now realize that Barry Bonds was treated incredibly unfair. He was looked at as the face of steroids. Why? Everybody was doing it. So many players were doing it. We later found that out. And I think a part of us look back at Bonds and say, why did we treat him like crap? Why did we treat him like the most evil, reprehensible human being? Quite frankly, he didn't deserve it. And quite frankly, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa are not a quote you, dog, not a patch on the fanny of Barry Bonds. And we all know it now. We all know how much better he was than those guys. And so I think there's a part of us that look back at Barry Bonds and say, he's not the ultimate heel. He's actually a face who got hosed for no reason. No reason. He did steroids, Evan. 80% of baseball was doing steroids. And yet, Craig, he was the only one standing there in Philadelphia with syringes being thrown at him. The same fans that glorified Lenny Dykstra and loved him. The same fans who went on and rooted for many a steroid guy. And when I look back at that day, I say, he didn't deserve that. He just didn't.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.